Welcome to the Black Sun podcast series, where you get a different pair of Black Sun experts exploring a topic that's at the top of their minds.
For this podcast, it's me, Anastasia Voloshchuk, Digital Project Manager at Black Sun in London.
And me, Richard Dixon, Chief Digital Officer, also in London. We're exploring digital design through the lens of fashion. What do the two disciplines have in common, and where do they diverge?
When we talk about design, even though we are working in digital, I always think about fashion design.
Great designers look to create something distinctive, but they also need to consider substance, such as, you know, how well it actually will wear or what it's meant to do. So a raincoat, for example, must be waterproof, just as a website must enable people to find what they're looking for. It also must mean that, you know, to a certain extent, it's got to conform to norms or people won't buy or use it. So this means that what we would call style must also combine with substance.
I totally agree with you.
And I think, you know, one of the great examples is actually looking at Burberry trench coat, whose origins was in 1879. It was then used by Ernest Shackleton in 1907 for Arctic exploration, and then as a trench coat in World War I before becoming a fashion icon. That, for me, is a perfect example of combining style and substance.
I think there are also parallels in creating a great first impression. For people, it's a mere 7 seconds, and it comes from people's psychology. Even a small detail of wardrobe could make a difference. Of course, this isn't just fashion, but it's both verbal and non-verbal clues. Is there anything equivalent in web design?
Interestingly, it's almost identical. Research has shown that it takes 50 milliseconds to form a first impression of a website. And what's more, ResearchGate tells us that 94% are design-related. So it really is important to make a good first impression.
So in the words of fashion designer Rachel Zoe, style is a way to say who you are without having to speak. So what would you consider the latest fashion in digital design?
Originally, I think there was a lot of movement to get all of the content within the what they call the viewport, that you can see on the screen. Then we had the introduction of the little hamburger menu. I think what we're seeing at the moment, though, is probably more spacious designs. I think with the availability of greater bandwidth, you've got richer imagery, more video. There's greater emphasis on creating interactivity through little micro interactions and movements on the page or the way the content loads in. I think people are really investing time in just making sure that kind of brings the site to life. There's also, dare I say it, because it's a global market, you do also see people following convention. And I guess you see that in fashion too. For example, you know, the placement of the navigation or the logo tends to be fairly consistent. Structure of the pages, hierarchy of content, consistency across the pages. You know, those are all signs of good design. So I think that's probably, again, where a bit of fashion trends and so on become a bit timeless.
Do you see different fashions in different parts of the world? For example, like if we talk about fashion, there are always trends from high fashion, like from Paris or Milan, that influence whole world fashion. However, every place in the world is trying to keep up with the latest trends, while at the same time clutching to some parts of their own tradition. So, Richard, do you see variances across the world of digital fashion?
Well, I think fashion is very specific to different cultures. That's also the same to a certain extent in digital design. We see different regions of the world having different priorities. Europe, for example, is much more expansive in design terms. Lots of white space, larger fonts, rooms for content to breathe, and so on. In the Asia-Pacific region, people seem to want sites to be much harder working, more condensed content, more content visible as you arrive on the site, less wasted white space. Perhaps this is in large part driven by the extraordinarily high percentage of mobile users versus, say, Europe. In the US, we see a more direct approach, less narrative, more to-the-point content, and again, less expansive designs. But what they all have in common is the desire to have a distinctive presence, to design with a purpose that basically drives deeper engagement and understanding, and, of course, a focus on performance and outcomes, not just design per se.
I see that fashion has been influenced by the lockdown very, very much. How do you think actually lockdown influenced the digital market or not?
I think it probably influenced design a bit less, but certainly technological advances much more. I think that probably actually since lockdown, you've probably seen more movements in fashion design for a website, for want of a better term. And I think you've seen that kind of escalation of the imagery and video since then.
So how do big international brands deal with that? How do they cater to style preferences in different countries?
Well, I think that's also at the heart of the debate. Great fashion transcends borders. Look at a company we touched on before, say Burberry. They look to create their web design from their brand. They may create different sites for different countries, accounting for local variances, but the brand is still the keystone for the design. I always think a good indicator of great web design is if you can look at the site and immediately identify the brand without reading the content or seeing the logo. Think Google or Apple. And even corporate brands like Haleon all have this characteristic.
And do you think this applies to any company or brand? Take Britain, for example, a manufacturer and supplier of building materials. They just won a global award for best user experience. How do they achieve great design when perhaps they don't have the visuals that consumer brands may have?
I think it goes back to creating a distinctive design that lives their brand, creating both style and substance for their website. Breedon have, for example, delivered some amazing projects for their clients, from bridges, roads, to airport runways. So there's plenty of materials to work with.
One of the challenges on web design is obviously it's almost designing on three dimensions. So, you know, always do the parallel is if you're designing a book, then you know it's A4, you know where the font's going, you know where the images are going. But actually with a website, you're designing for A1, A4, A3, folded, half height, and so on. So it makes it much more complicated to develop a great design for it.
I have one more question for you. How do you advise clients on form, function, and digital fashion? Do you ever have to talk them out of yesterday's trend?
Sometimes, yes. And sometimes you have different client stakeholders who like different fashion designs. But in the word of Yves Saint Laurent, fashions fade, style is eternal. So we always find it's best to start with who the audience is, what they want, and to deep dive into the brand. This way, right from the start, you're drawing together style and substance. With this center of gravity, the website design takes shape more naturally. Sometimes we actually have to evolve the brand as well for digital communications, especially a company that may have just refreshed its brand or is a startup. There's lots of work to do to make the brand work online.
Thanks, Richard. That was really interesting conversation. I think we covered a lot of ground and we can see many similarities between the world of fashion and web design.
I think we see a lot of similarities. You know, we talked about the need for style and substance to come together. We talked about different trends across different parts of the world. I think we also talked about where you need to start from, i.e. the needs of the user. And as Tom Ford says, style without substance is not worth anything.
Thanks for listening to the Black Sun podcast. If you have any questions or comments on anything you've heard, please do get in touch with us at Black Sun.